This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
There are people in this world, you have never come across them, you haven't seen them in your life. They have rights upon you, and you have rights upon them. How this works out, we'll find out shortly, inshallah, so stay tuned. Praise is due to Allah, we praise Him, we seek His aid and we ask for His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evils of ourselves and the evils of our actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can misguide. And whomsoever Allah leaves to go astray, none can guide. And I bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah alone, who has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger. Dear viewers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to a new episode of your show, For the Sake of Allah. In this show, we are trying to deal and to highlight the beauty of brotherhood in Al-Islam and the high position that Allah granted this very beautiful aspect of Al-Islam in our life and in the life that comes after it. Today, we are dealing with a very important subject, which is the rights of brotherhood. We know that the Muslims as a nation, all of them together, they are brothers to one another. And it means that they have rights upon one another and each one has obligations towards the others. This is the way Allah regulates this relationship. And without that kind of regulation, it will go missing. So this is from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, to do that and to establish a universal brotherhood and make this brotherhood constructive and beneficial for all humanity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directed us to these rights of brotherhood in the Quran, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified that clearly in the Sunnah with beautiful examples, real examples from himself, may peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and the examples of his companions, the ones whom he cultivated, the best of generations, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, before we go into the detailed rights, and they are the general rights, we know that the Muslims altogether are brothers to one another, and they have rights to one another. Now, we would like to just have a glimpse and a brief look into brotherhood, this kind of brotherhood that the Muslims have, and its value in their lives. Now, we have today our guests, Brother Abdul Rahman and Brother Muhammad. Now, we have come to know from the verses that we have come across and the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about this brotherhood and the universal strong bond that it creates amongst the Muslim or the members of the Muslim society. And in order to make this brotherhood go in the right direction, it has to have some regulations to control it and make it balanced, so that it becomes constructive, or brings about positive results on the society and on the individual. So, do you have any contributions or any questions with regards to the general brotherhood? What's the general brotherhood and what is the specific one? Things like that. These are sometimes things that people mix up. So, would you like to tell us what do you think, Abdul Rahman, general brotherhood is and what specific brotherhood is in Islam? Or do you think that maybe it is something that seems like a puzzle to you?
I mean, I won't take the risk to...
Yeah.
I'd rather take it from you.
Okay, so inshallah, for you, it's all a brotherhood. Okay, Muhammad, do you have another opinion about that?
No, truly no. It's like same the brotherhood.
It's the same brotherhood.
Yeah.
Okay. This is exactly what it is in Islam. It is the same brotherhood, which we call sometimes the universal brotherhood that we have in Islam. But what I mean by general brotherhood and specific brotherhood, okay, if you travel to Indonesia, for example, you'll see Muslims. They are your brothers.
Sure.
They have rights upon you.
Exactly.
Isn't that true?
Yes.
It's true. Okay. In your neighborhood, you have brothers that you mix with. You hang around with them all the time. You go with them to pray in the masjid. You go with them to college, maybe you go with them to the market, you spend time together, you visit one another. Okay, do you think there's a difference between the one who's in Indonesia and the one who's in your neighborhood?
I think that when someone is closer, there will be more rights.
This is what I mean. Yeah. It's what we mean by specific brotherhood.
Brother.
The reason why, and we will come to know that inshallah, because inevitably, he's in your neighborhood. You see him every day. Mm-hmm. So this incurs more rights upon you than the one person you don't even know that he exists.
Sure.
This is inevitable. And this is the normal case. Now, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as one of the companions described him, that he never left anything that is beneficial for us in this life and then the next, except that he described it to us and he clarified it to us. This is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything we need, everything that can be beneficial for us, whether from the matters of this life or the matters of the hereafter, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam directed us to the right way of dealing with it. One day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the rights of the Muslim brother upon his Muslim brother are six. And on other occasions, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned more. Now these are the main, one of the main ones, the six ones. First he started, he said, giving the salam. Giving the salam. This is the first right of brotherhood. Now this is something the Muslims, I don't think that they abide by that. Mm-hmm. We can see that salam has become something precious. You hardly see two people giving salam to one another. While the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and through this practice, we can see the beauty of Al-Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that from Al-Islam is that, and تُسَلِّمَ عَلَى مَنْ تَعْرِفْ وَمَنْ لَا تَعْرِفْ, that you give salam to the one that you know and the one you don't know. I want you just to imagine with me, what do you think if the society, all of it becomes, everyone is giving the other one the salam. Mm-hmm. Everyone is seeing another one. He knows him or he doesn't know him. Mm-hmm. As-salamu alaykum. What do you think, for example, Muhammad, what do you think the society would be like? Would it be the same as we have today?
Of course not, but I think like there will be more angels in the streets than the usual case. But it feels like more tama'anina for the Muslims on the streets and everywhere.
Yeah, very good.
It brings tama'anina.
Yeah, it brings, very good, brings mutual love.
Yeah.
Brings mutual love. Imagine, you see, if you are walking in the street, and I'm sure it happened to me many times. I'm walking in the street, someone, I don't know him, I haven't seen him in my life, and he says, Salaamu Alaikum. Mm-hmm. Well, definitely, straight away, this is human nature. You will feel some love towards him.
True, yes.
Exactly. So imagine the Muslims saying, Assalamu Alaikum, Assalamu Alaikum. Mm-hmm. It becomes a strong society. People love one another. Because one day, you know, this is something that Allah put in human beings. One day Ibn Abbas was sitting with his students and he saw a man passing by. So he said to his students, he said, this man loves me. He had never seen him in his life. But he said, this man loves me. So when they asked him, they said, Allah, because I love him. I saw him, I loved him for the sake of Allah. Now if you spread the salam, it will bring this kind of tuma'nina. Tuma'nina is some kind of tranquility and peace that you feel in the heart.
Yeah.
When you are in an atmosphere where you know people, you are acquainted with them, you feel more comfortable. But if you are among strangers, you don't feel comfortable. This is tuma'nina. You feel it among the people that you are acquainted with, the ones that you have some sort of connection to.
Yeah.
So imagine yourself giving salam to everyone and everyone giving salam. Can you imagine our streets? How cities will look like? How people... I tell you, people, believe me, people sometimes come to work and they are fed up with transport and with commuting. They're fed up with the bills they have to pay and the rent and all this financial burden. But imagine yourself when you walk in the street, salamu alaikum, salamu alaikum. It takes away from the agony and the pain and the stress that you have.
Exactly.
So when you go to work, you become fresh because you already had maybe 100 salams on the way.
Yeah.
This is some kind of energy,
I feel it spreads also peace. For example, especially between youngsters where there's more fights and the teens and all this kind of stuff and fights. And when someone comes and says, Salaamu Alaikum, and telling peace to his brother, it makes the pressure go down.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It makes you have something in common. It starts something in common. It is the best way to make a friendship. Give salam to someone you don't know. Salam alaikum. You can open a conversation with him, because you have already attracted him towards you. He has some kind of feeling towards you. This is why the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam directed the Muslims to give salam to the one they know and the one they don't know. There is something that we will get if we do this or practice this beautiful etiquette, which is to give salam. We'll have this on the day of judgment. You know, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day said, you will not enter paradise until you love one another, or until you truly believe. لَن تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنِ. You will not enter paradise until you have to achieve iman. Okay, now someone says, how can I achieve iman? Well, it's easy to say it, but how can I achieve it? Give me something tangible, something I can do, something I can put into action straight away and benefit from it. Okay, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it easy for us. He said, وَلَن تُؤْمِنُ حَتَّى تَحَبُ. You will not believe or truly believe until you love one another. Okay, he's making it more easy. Okay, how can we love one another? أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ إِنْ فَعَلْتُمُهُ تَحَبَّبْتُمْ. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, shall I not tell you about something that if you do it, you will spread this mutual love amongst yourselves? SubhanAllah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is making it easy for us. He's breaking it down. So simple things, you can do them, you will have love. You'll have love, you'll achieve iman, straight to paradise, straight to Jannah, inshallah. This is our goal and our objective. Now, so the way to paradise, you see, it started with, you will not enter paradise until you believe, and ended with what? Giving the salam, you see? A simple act you do, give salam, you enter paradise. Creates love. And this is what we need. The Muslims today are weak because they don't have this mutual love. We want to increase it, we give the salam. And some people have the misconception, maybe you heard of this, that it's not obligatory to give the salam, but it is obligatory. If someone gives you the salam, that you respond. That's not true. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, it is the right of the Muslim upon his fellow Muslim to give the salam. So when you see him, you have to give him salam. Anyone who doesn't give salam, what the impression it gives you, Muhammad? If someone passes by you, doesn't give you salam?
It's like he's telling me to back off or something like that. Like,
that's it.
Yeah.
Okay, it's just as if he's looking down upon you. What do you think, Abdul Rahman?
I think that he's not being sociable in a way.
Yeah. And Nawawi said, Rahimahullah, one of the great scholars, he said that the reason why salam should be spread to the one you know and the one you don't know, because not giving salam is from arrogance. You look down upon people. Why should I give this man salam? And it happens sometimes. You give someone salam, he looks at you, why are you giving me salam? We can see this in the streets. Yeah. You give someone salam, he looks at you, I don't know you. Why do you give me salam? This is arrogance. So salam takes the arrogance and the feeling of alienation that sometimes people have amongst each other. So we can see how that this is, Allah has obligated upon us, or made it obligatory upon us, or the rights of our brothers upon us to give salam, but it is a credit to us. We are the ones who will benefit from this. Now this is a beautiful etiquette, and it is a right. So when you see a Muslim brother, you have to give him salam. This is his right. Don't breach this right. Inshallah we'll come across other beautiful etiquettes and obligations, but we will have a short break, we'll stop for a few minutes, and then we'll come back. So, and we say to our viewers, stay with us. Welcome back. Now, we have seen how Islam teaches us the things that will strengthen this bond amongst us and improve the society in general and benefit the individual. Now, we mentioned some of the social benefits, the things that are good in conveying the salam and spreading the greeting of salam. Now, the Prophet ﷺ had a beautiful hadith. He said, اعبدوا الرحمن. It has a rhyme. This is a beautiful hadith. اعبدوا الرحمن واطعموا الطعام وافشوا السلام تدخلوا الجنة بسلام. Worship الرحمن. Worship the merciful. And feed the poor ones. And spread the greeting of salam. You will enter paradise with peace. So inshallah we can see that Islam gives us the things that improve the quality of our lives here. And it guides us to the way that inshallah will lead us to paradise. Another right, right number two, from those that the brothers have upon us. And this is something we have fallen short into. It is, if someone gets sick, he falls ill. And you know, imagine yourself, you fall ill, and you're at home by yourself, and no one shows up. You have your brothers that you mix with almost every day, and when you are missing, they don't miss you. So when you come back, it comes back. I guess, and I think, from my own experience, this is mainly the case in the West. If you show up, that's fine. If you don't show up, people don't ask about you. They are not concerned about you. Whatever happens, it happens then. If you show up, alhamdulillah, you're with us, we'll have fun, is what they say. But if you are absent, no one sees you, they don't ask about you. Maybe he died, maybe he's ill, maybe he needs help, maybe he's in trouble. People don't care about that. You'd like to have add something here?
I believe that this even shows that that people are fake. It's not a real friendship. Because what is a friendship? A real friendship? If the one that we call friend doesn't show up in bad times and just show up in good times, and when he wants to have fun or wants to, this is not true. And me personally, it's very nice when you're really sick and someone asks about you. It helps you through your sickness.
That's true. Exactly. It helps you. It helps you overcome your sickness and the illness. You know, one day I remember there was an old man coming to the local masjid, and he had no family. A man of wisdom, mashallah. You can see, you know, the old men, they have some wisdom. And one day he had a heart stroke. He had a stroke. And he went, they took him to the hospital, and he became sort of disabled. So we realized people in the masjid, in the local masjid, they missed him. For 2 days, he hasn't come. This man comes to all the prayers. He comes to Fajr, he comes to Isha, he comes to all the prayers. Why doesn't he come? There must be something wrong. They kept asking and inquiring until they found out that he was in the hospital. You see, if he was in a different, or with a different people, or different people, non-Muslims, I don't think anyone would really bother to find out where he was. So they found out which hospital he was in. We went all to visit him, and when we came to him, he started. Exactly. That was an emotional moment. It really touched my heart. The man was in tears. He looked at us and he started hugging all. He couldn't move really properly. He was moving only one hand. He tried to hug us, and he was really in tears, and he was so happy. He was so happy, and he said, "May Allah reward you. You are my family. You are my children. You are my sons. You are my brothers. You are everything." And he was so happy. And honestly, I feel that moment, I will never forget it. Wallah, it was. I can still recall the peace and the happiness that I had in my heart when I saw him in that state. He was very happy to see us. And even all the nurses and the doctors in the hospital, they said, they thought that was some kind of celebrity, all these people coming to visit him.
Showing up.
Well, you know, what's wrong with that? Yeah. And I could see there was an old man next to him, on the bed next to him, and he looked really sad. He was a bit ill, but I think what worsened his illness was that no one was asking about him. So the Prophet ﷺ is telling us the rights of the Muslims, or the Muslim towards his fellow Muslim. The second one he mentioned is to visit him when he is ill.
Yes.
Visit him when he is ill. These are the beautiful feelings that Islam wants us to have to our brothers. And when I asked that old man, he said to me, "I haven't seen anyone from my family, not even friends and brothers, family, for 6 months. I've been here by myself."
Subhanallah.
You see how Islam, when we call the people to Islam, we want the people to have these values. We want them to have a better life. Have you ever been through an experience, something like that, Muhammad?
It's notable. It's notable, as you said, when practicing Muslims, they go in and out in the masjid, and they notice a brother that's not there for some prayers during the day or something like that, couple of days. It is very noticeable that we have to ask about him. Usually it happens. I don't have a certain case about that issue, but all the time it happens. Someone misses the prayers, so we go ask him, where is he? Yeah. What's wrong with him? Turns out that he's sick for a few days or something like that, but this is an issue. It's like, when he misses the prayers, not going to the masjid, we have to visit. Usually it happens, but as you said, that we gather around and we go visit, and it's like very...
So it is the masjid community.
Yeah, it is.
The community, they have this brotherhood. So this is the foundation for brotherhood. Exactly. I'll tell you, the Prophet ﷺ made it clear for us that any friendship, any relationship that is not based upon sincerity to Allah alone, it is invalid. It is fake, as you said. It is fake.
And usually it doesn't last.
That's it.
What comes through Allah is eternal.
That's it.
It will even last in the hereafter.
That's the difference between a practicing and non-practicing.
Very good. That's another difference here. People who are practicing, they have these values. People who are not practicing, they will follow the ways of the disbelievers. I care about myself, and if you get ill, that's your problem.
Yeah.
I have nothing to do with that.
It does.
You know that the Messenger ﷺ gave the glad tidings to the ones who visit their ill brothers. The Prophet ﷺ said, anyone who visits his ill brother, then he is walking within the mercy of Allah. He has entered himself in like an ocean of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm-hmm. And once he sit with that ill person in his room, then he is sitting within the mercy of Allah until he leaves. And some other things the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to us. So it's not only about having just the mutual love, it's even about the reward you are going to get.
Exactly.
So Islam, we can see when people talk about Muslims as terrorists, Muslims as ones who have no social life, Muslim people who are strict and they are fundamentalist. When we look at the Islamic way of life, as we saw in the life of the companions, how beautiful it was, the solidarity they had and the mutual love they had, we can see that Islam softens the character and it elevates and it improves the quality of the character and the manners the people have. So it brings happiness by this means. And we can see that the world is full of poor people and people on the other side, we can see people living extravagant lives. Why is that? Because people don't care for one another. In Islam, this doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a beautiful hadith, and he said, there is no Muslim who goes and visit his ill brother during the morning or during the daytime, except that there are 70,000 angels seeking forgiveness for him until the night falls. And anyone who visits his sick or his ill brother during the night time or in the evening, then there will be 70,000 angels seeking forgiveness for him until it is morning time. Subhanallah. You can see, and the angel's supplication is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So imagine 70,000 angels are seeking forgiveness for you. The one who fulfilled the perfect character, or the who comes second after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was Abu Bakr. May Allah be pleased with him. One day the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companions, who is fasting today? Abu Bakr said, I did. Oh, I'm fasting. Okay, he asked, who followed a janazah, a funeral today? Abu Bakr said, I did. Okay, who fed a poor person today? Abu Bakr said, I did. Who visited an ill person today? I did. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no one who combines these things during one day except that he's from the people of paradise. So these are righteous actions. These are from the rights of brotherhood. And so we can imagine, if we follow these rights and abide by them, what kind of society we're going to have. We won't have poor people. People will have a happy life. And this is what Islam is. As we said, Ibn al-Qayyim said at the very outset when we started this program, that anyone who thinks that Islam has come to regulate or to direct the people only to paradise, then he's mistaken. It has come to do that and to give us a beautiful life here. A beautiful life here. So what do you think would happen, Abdul Rahman, if I want you to imagine that people have these only these two obligations towards our fellow Muslims, giving the salam and visiting the ones who are ill. What kind of love we would have? What kind of brotherhood?
First of all, it will make people get closer.
Very good.
And second of all, like you said, Sheikh, when you visited that person in the hospital, it gave you this impact on yourself. So like you said, it has a a good thing here and in the hereafter. And the thing about here is that there's an impact. And when you do good, you get also impact and you feel good. So it's like an exchange.
SubhanAllah. What would you think would be the response of the person when he recovers and then he sees you in the street?
He love you.
That's it. He would love you. See how then the impact is lasting.
Yeah, sure.
Imagine yourself ill and somebody comes to visit you and help you in that illness. Then after some time, when you recover, you see him. Imagine, you would love that person. Yeah. You are my brother. You would remember the days that you were in need and he came to help you. Okay, we'll have another right that we have towards our fellow Muslims. It is, this is for the Muslims in general. And people are heedless mainly about this, to answer the invitation. A brother says to you, you come to my house for dinner. We apologize. No, I will have to do this, I'll have to do that. It's an obligation. The Messenger says in the hadith, from these six obligations, is if he invites you, you have to answer. So if you have no excuse, and the person is a righteous person, a good person, you have to answer.
Exactly.
And we know from experience that when you have food with someone else, what happens, sorry Muhammad, what happens if you have food with another person, what kind of, does it affect the relationship? How does it influence
it? It leans the heart more. It affects the heart. It's not the whole about the stomach issue. It's about the heart.
Very good. It's not about having food and filling your stomach up.
Yes.
It's the love. And this human nature. When you eat with somebody else, you have something in common. You share the same feelings with him. So whenever someone calls you or invites you to his house, if he's a Muslim, it's an obligation to answer unless you are busy or there's something wrong with him. Okay? So when... This is an etiquette that we have to stick to.
Exactly.
It increases love. Because if I invite you to my house and you say, I have something to do, then it turns out to be that you are really free. But you didn't want to come. It causes alienation and maybe dissension between the brothers. So we can see that Islam is so beautiful. Islam wants us to love one another more and be like one family, be like one construction, like one brick is hanging to the other.
Mm-hmm.
You see that firm construction? This is how Muslims are, interrelated. They are strong, and this is why what we want humanity to attain this beauty and this love. We will have to stop now,
sure.
And I hope we will benefit from these beautiful obligations and benefit from them and apply them in our daily life so that we have this mutual love. And inshallah, our viewers will benefit from that as well. So, see you inshallah in another episode with a more beneficial and with more benefits from the Quran and the Sunnah. And I'll leave you in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.